You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, what is going on, man?
Man, getting ready for what should be a great football weekend. Everybody to talk about the game of the week. Everyone knows, like, Philly and San Francisco, all that coming up. Like, that's going to be terrific. But then the championship games, college football, getting a chance to see all these great teams, get a chance to really dig into some of these players that'll be in the draft. All of that happens. It always happens around this time of year, right after Thanksgiving. And, man, we're at that time. It should be fun.
I'll tell you right now, a heads up, draft heads up. I'm just kind of working my way through this list right now. I'm starting with offensive linemen. Buck, I'm just doing through the tackles. This is going to be one of the best tackle drafts that I can remember. Like, if you are an NFL team and you need offensive tackle help, you're going to love this draft. I mean, I've already done about seven of them that are first-round caliber players. I mean, so in a league that's starved for offensive linemen, I think this draft, as much as we're going to talk about the quarterbacks as we go to the spring, the headliners, this is a draft where these teams that all need offensive linemen, they're going to love this draft.
Yeah, I mean, in more teams, you talk about it being a copycat league. When you look at the teams that are at the top, they're dominating the trenches. I mean, we can't talk enough about the Niners, the Eagles, and some of the other teams.
Look at the Lions' resurgence.
They have trench warriors. And so if you're going to invest in the bigs, you need to know the bigs. You need to put a lot of time in the bigs. I find it interesting that you decided to start your study looking at offensive linemen, going all the way back to when I worked in Seattle with John Snyder and those guys. We always started our evaluations with the offensive tackles and then kind of worked our way from the bigs to the littles.
Yeah. By the way, the reason that I do that is there's no like deep philosophical reason other than when you're watching offensive linemen, I only got to watch the end zone cut. I don't have to watch the line. So I can go, I can feel like I accomplished something. I'm just getting them done just one after another, after another, after another. By the way, we'll get to more draft stuff further on in the spring here. But I would say this, man, what a bummer for the Pac-12 because like, I don't remember seeing this many good offensive linemen in the Pac-12 as the conference is getting ready to go away. And I bet you a lot of these Pac-12 teams wish they had these guys to take them as they move into their new conferences next year. But it is a really good year for Pac-12 trench play. Best I've seen in a long time.
I mean, not only that, I mean, let's just talk about overall Pac-12 play. It's been one of the best years that we've seen. You talk about the two teams that are playing in the championship game, Washington and Oregon. Oregon State was solid.
Arizona's good.
Yeah, Arizona bounced back. I mean, there's so many good players, good teams. Utah is always pretty good. And it's unfortunate that it is going away because, life as we know it on the road, like, no longer exists. It'd be interesting to see how everyone breaks up their maps and whatever they're going to do when it comes to trying to figure out who they're going to see and how they're going to get there. It's changed. Not the same.
Definitely not the same. Yeah. RIP to the Pac-12. All right. Today we're going to talk about that game of the week you mentioned, the Niners and the Eagles. Also going to do a little Bucky's Coach's Corner, which the word today is urgency. So we'll dig into that. But we start, as we always do on this Thursday pod, with our update on the rookie impact scores from the week. So the top guys this week, rookies, you had C.J. Stroud at the top of the list, where he's maintained a pretty healthy position on a weekly basis. Again, this is just off last week's games. C.J. Stroud, Bijan Robinson, Zay Flowers, two-touchdown game for the Ravens. Rashee Rice, who's come on strong for Kansas City. You've got the kicker for New Orleans, Blake Group, and then you've got Aiden O'Connell, who had a solid day for the Raiders. Those are the top individual players. And then the teams, Buck, Packers, Texans, Rams, Giants, and Bucks. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Rams. We touched on them previously about how they're playing so many young guys and playing so well. I reached out to Les Snead yesterday. We were talking about some other stuff, and I asked him about all these young guys, like getting these young guys up and running. Mm-hmm. And he used the phrase, we did our best to identify guys who love it and guys who can learn it, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Like, because with Sean McVay and that offense, like you got to be sharp. So those were kind of the specific things. And then guys that'll, you know, if you love it, even if you aren't as great at the learning, like you're okay, you're average on the learning. Mm-hmm. If you love it, you'll put in the work to be able to figure it out. But I think so many times we talk about this prospect evaluation and can they change direction? And all, at the end of the day, if you love it and you learn it, we can work around that a little bit.
Yeah, you can work around it, because like the passion is what you're talking about. And people that are passionate about the game, they can do whatever it takes. You don't have to ask them to come over and get a little film in. You don't have to ask them to come over and maybe can participate in a walkthrough or some things that are going to help them understand what we're putting in the game plan this week. And DJ, at the end of the day, the game is so hard that if you're a coach or a team builder, you want to go down with guys that are just as invested in the process as you are. You don't want to go down with the guy that comes in 5 minutes before meeting start and leaves 5 minutes after practice concludes. You want someone who is going to be there. And so I do understand what Les is saying when he talks about being able to love it and learn it, because the love is everything. And everyone would talk about that. And you knew we used to have to ask all these questions of prospects at the combine. Oh, I love it. I love the game. I want to do this. But it's being able to really track their pattern of behavior to see, do they exhibit the qualities of someone who really, really loves it? How much does it mean to them? What is their preparation process like? Because out of all those things, when we ask those questions, you really begin to figure out if guys really love the game and love all the things that you have to do to be really good at this game.
Yeah, I think about all the picks that they had last year. Man, what, they had like 14 draft picks, something crazy? Like they had an unbelievable number of draft picks. And I'm looking at it for next year, not only do they have a first rounder, you know, for the first time in forever, they're picking, if the season ended today, they'd be picking 14th. But they've got a 2, they've got a 3. They have, this is where they do their magic. They've got 2 5s. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 6s in next year's draft due to all the comp picks that are going to be coming their way. But I think, you know, maybe they take the first round, second round guys and put them in their own category. If you were a GM, I think we would be smart enough to know, man, let's identify the teams with the hit rates in the 4th, 5th, 6th rounds. Who are those teams? Who are the players they're picking? What do they have in common? And what can we learn from them? Like that would be a team. That would be one. Seattle historically over the years has been another one who's done really good job in that portion of the draft. What is it about that? And I think that's part of the equation. What they, you know, we just talked about, you know, do they love it? Can they learn it?
No, so it's funny going all the way back. We're talking about the Rams, but I'll use a story from one of your former teams, the Baltimore Ravens, as an example. When I was with the Carolina Panthers, and even before that with the Seattle Seahawks, at the time, the Ravens had a great hit rate when it came to free agents, like undrafted free agents. Like they just found a way to do it. I think you've told me how the Ravens would offer you $500 in opportunity.
$500 and a chance. That's all like we got to offer you.
Like, and but it worked out when you think about so many free agents that were able to kind of scratch out NFL careers starting in Baltimore. And so we studied that process and what was it about and how they put those guys on the field. So when you look at the Rams and you talk about the success that they've had in those third round or lower, like in terms of the picks they brought in and how those guys are playing, there's something to what they're doing. And so you want to pick their brain, you want to see how their guys are playing, and you want to make those observations. No different than if you were a team in need of a wide receiver, just look at what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing, because they've always found a way to do it. There's certain teams that have a recipe for being able to produce certain players at certain positions, and they can just uncover it. And it's because they have a criteria and a process that works for them.
Yeah, no doubt. Although the Steelers, for all the hit rate on wideouts, they now have a small collection of guys over the years that have, I would say they've expired their time there in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I mean, you think about Antonio Brown. I don't remember with Santonio how that ended, if he was upset or not.
It was still some of that, but like now all of them were edgy when they came in. They all
Chase
had like
Claypool,
edgy.
They punted him. That didn't fit. They punted him out.
It didn't work, but they were able to get great production for a long time for the wide receivers that they drafted, and they weren't taking guys in the first round. It was something about that process, something about playing for that team that allowed them to have guys to really step up and really embrace. I mean, going all the way back to Martavis Bryant and some of the other guys that they brought through that had a lot of success. They've been able to find receivers.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Deontay Johnson, we'll see what happens with him in the offseason. That was not a great look for him the other day, but he's been a good player for them. And the Claypool thing, man, you could say it didn't work out. They got the 32nd pick in the draft for the guy. So they were able to cut their losses there and actually come away with a tremendous asset. So I think smart teams do that. I think you look at different areas of talent acquisition, look at who's doing it well, study them. What can you learn? I think that's something that smart teams will do. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Buck, we are going to jump into the game of the week. It might be the game of the year. The one that we've both been talking about for a long time and looking forward to, that is the Eagles hosting the Niners. We'll get into that right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the MTS Game of the Week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. This week, it's the 49ers at the Eagles. The spread is -3, favoring the 49ers. The over-under is 47. DJ, we can talk about this in a bunch of different ways, but from an evaluator standpoint, man, this is must-see TV. Everyone needs to curl up, figure out, let's watch this game because we're going to learn so many team-building lessons from watching these two teams get it on this weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about building your team up front, and nobody exemplifies that better than these two teams. I mean, they are outstanding in the trenches, both sides, not only talent, like premier talent, but depth as well. There's so many great individual matchups when you look across the board. How about the matchup of Kelce going up against his former teammate in Hargrave? Think those guys don't know each other really well? That's going to be a great battle. Think about Lane Johnson and Nick Bosa going at it. You flip it over to the other side. You've got Trent Williams against Hassan Reddick, or Trent Williams against Josh Sweat. I mean, there are so many intriguing matchups in this game. If I'm going to phrase it this way, Buck, where would you say that you give the edge to the 49ers? Like, if the 49ers, and they're favored, as you mentioned, in this game, 49ers win this game, it will be because of who?
Man, it's tough because I think these teams are very, very similar. I would say that if the 49ers win, it's because their defensive front, their front line, their new and improved front line, takes over and controls the game. It allows them to be able to play coverage so they can match up with the skill that the Eagles have on the perimeter. Chase Young, Nick Bosa, Javon Hargraves, if those guys are able to dominate at the point of attack, that's their best path to victory, because then it gives them a chance to sit back and play max coverage, take away the deep balls, not allow Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown to be big factors, while also being able to contain the running game in Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I'm going to say for the 49ers, I think the matchup, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise, that favors them the most is McCaffrey against Eagles linebackers. The Eagles linebackers, they made some additions there. They've been better throughout the year, but I still think that's a place you can attack them. And I imagine McCaffrey will be a big part of the passing game in this one, not just running the football. I think you see him get a bunch of targets, get him out in the route, see if you can't take advantage of some of those matchups. And then on the other side, I think when you look at the Eagles offense, I don't think the Niners have the corners to match up with those wide receivers on a down in, down out basis. If they can't get home, if they can't get home with their rush, I think that there's some opportunities down the field for the Eagles through the air. I don't really see either team, and we talk about how physical they are, I don't see either team getting smashed in the run game in this game. I think they'll take that away. I think it'll come down to the passing game. And to me, I like the Niners with what they can do with McCaffrey as well as Kittle working in the middle of the field. And with the Eagles, I like what they can do on the outside.
Yeah, it's God, man, it's such a fascinating game to watch. And to me, I think it's about watching that first quarter and see who's able to get the game played on their terms. The Niners are great when they can dictate the terms from the jump, meaning they're able to hit a couple of explosive plays, which then gives them the lead. Then they can get to the running game. And then on defense, they can start hunting the quarterback. The Eagles have been able to really rally and finish games and win games in the fourth quarter without what we always say is playing their best ball. But there's something to a team that just knows how to win, and this team knows how to win. Also, the Eagles will walk into this game with a bunch of confidence because they knocked off the Niners. Then the Niners will point to, oh, the quarterback got hurt, if and this and if and that. But at the end of the day, the Eagles are going to be like, yep, but you know what? We beat you, and we know how to beat you, and we feel good about that. Like, you're not going to bully us because we've done this song and dance before. There's something about the advantage that the Niners have always had coming into games where everyone views them as the bully, where they're not going to bully the Eagles. So now it's going to come down to execution and the other stuff. And that's what makes this game such a good one, such a fun one.
And, you know, I've talked about this before, but I'm telling you, there's no love lost here. This is the best rivalry in the NFL right now.
Why is it such a rivalry? Like, what happened? Like what made it?
It was last year. It was last year. I think that when you have guys, when you have each of them pride themselves as being the most physical bully in the league, and that's their mantra. And I think that the Niners were a little chirpy coming out of that game last year about if the quarterback, we don't have the quarterback debacle, we would have won. That ticked off the Eagles a little bit, and then the Eagles, you know, didn't shut up about how they beat up the 49ers, like, to the point where I was told, even going into the Super Bowl, that the Eagles, there were still players that were still talking about the Niners when they were getting ready to play in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Like, so there's that. I mean, obviously then the Niners go out and get Javon Hargrave, you know, big time player coming from one side to the next. It feels to me like this is the modern day Cowboys Niners that we grew up with, you know, those 90s years.
Yeah, it is. There's definitely no love lost when it comes to these two teams. I was just trying to figure out where the source of this discontentment.
Well, how about the head coaches? How about the head coaches? Like, I mean, the head coaches, you would say, are both very talented, edgy, a little cocky, a little something there.
A lot cocky, and team takes on the personality of the coach. And so when you see Nick Sirianni nodding his head, being like, you know, he embraces it now.
He's going to be on 11, Buck. He's going to be on 11 this week.
He embraces all of that. He's super confident. He's very competitive. He has the competitive arrogance that you like. And then, you know, Kyle Shanahan has that edge to him too. He doesn't mind twisting the dagger in when he has an opportunity to do so. And what I love, DJ, like in these games, hey, you don't like me, I don't like you, let's play. I like that. Yeah. I like when there's a little tension between the two teams, and we'll have an opportunity to see it. And the funny thing, these teams are so much, I mean, there's so
they're
many.
They're even, like across the line, even.
Similarities between them. I just love watching and seeing how it plays out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fascinated. To me, the right side of the Niners offensive line worries me. For them, the linebackers and coverage worries me for the Eagles. You know, we'll see how this shakes out. I know one thing. I have not looked forward to a game like this one. And we've both got good buddies in both of these organizations. I respect these two organizations as much as any in the NFL. I think they do it the right way, how they build their teams. Their coaches are outstanding. Their scouting staffs are deep and talented. They know who they are, what they are. I just have a tremendous amount of respect for both of them. I cannot wait for this game. It's going to be a fun watch for everyone involved.
That was the MCS Game of the Week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code MCS. That's code MCS only at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Well, there you go. Game of the Week. Cannot wait for it. We will be recapping it next week. I can promise you that. All right, Buck. We've got Coach's Corner here today. What is our word? What is our conversation today? What are we learning?
Urgency. Urgency, urgency, urgency. It's the desire that your team has that you always hear coaches talk about. Play fast. You know, start fast, finish fast, all that other stuff. But it's the urgency. It's understanding the moment. It's bringing the right level of what I would call focus, intensity to the game, because you understand what matters. And DJ, what I love about this time of year is as you get closer to the postseason and as you get into the tournament and the games are win or go home, man, that energy, that urgency that is needed to be able to advance, look, it's everything. And as a young player, man, sometimes older players can't stress enough to younger players like how important everything is, how you conduct yourself in this walkthrough matters, because you're going to see these same situations in games. And if you're not ready, you're not going to be able to react and play fast and play out your shoes and do the things that we want. The urgency to play, particularly at a championship level, look, man, it's something that coaches spend all offseason, all regular season, all practice time trying to get their players to understand. And when you get your team to kind of step up to that standard where that urgency allows you to have a collection of what I call ASAP players, as soon as possible, I need you right now, that's when your team goes to the next level. And that's when you begin to win and win those big, big games.
I love it. I'm a visual thinker, Buck. So the way you're describing that, I think of, as we were kids, remember when we go bowling and they used to be able to put the bumpers up in the gutters? So it's like, yeah, hey, you don't have to bowl it perfectly. You're a little kid, it bounces off and you're still going to knock down some pins. Well, those are down. So now you've got to be focused. We've got to be able to be focused, get this thing down the alley, because there are gutters and it could go bad. So to me, it's the small things, which you talk about. Like we'd all say, hey, be physical. Blah, blah, blah. No. Now in urgency, I think of now we're about details. Now it's about your first step that you're taking. Now it's about your eyes. It's about your hands. Like there's a focus and an intensity with the small things. And that to me, I think that defines urgency in the way you're talking about it.
Yes, urgency is everything matters. I shouldn't even have to coach you on the effort, but I'm talking about like it's straining to make those plays. It's making sure you get there right away. There's no hesitancy in how you approach it. Look, man, if it's a doubt between, man, whether I should take this shot, whether I should hit him or not, no, you err on the side of I'm going to hit him. And then we'll figure it out at the end of the day. But it's just understanding like in those moments as we get closer to the prize, you got to raise the intensity level. And you have to raise that intensity level, not just in games, because you can't just flip the switch on game day and say, oh, I'm going to be urgent. It has to be how you approach it throughout the week. You have to ready your mind and your body to be able to play at that level. And look, it's something we can talk about it, but it's something that you have to go through the process and maybe play in one of those games where you're not ready to match that. to then you take those lessons. You're like, oh, okay, this is what they're talking about when the energy and the intensity and the urgency goes up, because the bigger the game, the more physical the game, but also the more urgent that you have to be able to play.
I think if people listen to this, and if you're a coach out there, I know a lot of coaches listen to the show here. You think about urgency, and I know the question that people are going to ask, well, how do I get my guys to have urgency but then not play tight? I need them to still be loose but be focused. And to me, that goes back to your preparation. Whatever your preparation is, if you're prepared during the week, you can be urgent in the game without feeling tight. The reason you're tight is because you're not confident in what you're doing. To me, if you have your preparation, preparation leads to confidence. Confidence leads to being able to play loose and free. That you can still crank up your urgency, but it's dependent on your preparation.
It is dependent on your preparation. And DJ, we've heard this from great coaches. I think we've heard people talk about, as you get into the bigger games, the menu gets smaller, not bigger. Because what you want your guys, you want them to play fast. You want them fully confident because they know exactly what they're doing. And because they know what they're doing now, they're just going. The more that you put on them, the more that you have them thinking, the clutter slows them down, bogs them down. And so eliminate all the fluff. We're going to beat you, because once you get to a certain level, DJ, everyone knows what everybody else is going to do. It comes down to execution. But it's the execution with that urgency and intensity that you need. Hey, you know what we're doing, but man, we're going to do it so well. We're going to do it with so much physicality and toughness that we're going to overwhelm you. And the only way you can do it is in your preparation process. It's taught well. It's simplified. So now I'm not thinking, I'm reacting, and I'm really playing. I'm playing fast.
No, I love it. I think that's a great word for everybody. It's not something just for football. You can use that in life as well. It's time. It's go time. And that's a good lesson to have. All right, that is Bucky's Coach's Corner. We enjoy that each and every week, and that is going to do it for us today. Be on the lookout for tomorrow's episode, because we're going to have Missouri head coach Eli Drinkwitz, who's done a remarkable turnaround job there with that program, got them to double-digit wins. Somebody who's fascinating to talk to. So be on the lookout for that tomorrow right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.